family. You believe it? What a beautiful Sunday it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you're God, your creator, sustainer. And yet you choose to have a relationship with me. And I pray here this morning, much is made of your name. My prayer is that I bring nothing, I have nothing. That your Holy Spirit would be poured out here this morning. That we would take away nothing more and nothing less. I pray that simply we proclaim your name and you will draw people to yourself. And I pray that you're glorified here this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. We love you. It's your awesome and holy name that we pray. Church family. It is good to be here with you this morning. Randy and Judy are doing their run for the Rose this week, as they do every April, for supports the cancer research from Michael. And so pray with them and pray for them. And they have a huge group that runs for Team Michael. And so he is away today. And so I have the opportunity to be here with you. So we had a great Easter last Sunday between both campuses. Combined, we had over 600 people in church last Sunday, and much was made of Jesus' name, and so we had a good week. You know, it's kind of Easter. I know a lot of people call it the, you know, our Super Bowl or whatever, but, you know, there's kind of this crescendo, this buildup to Easter in that, you know, it starts with kind of Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry, and we partook in the Lord's Supper and all that, and then you have Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, which if you're my kids, you're thankful for Friday because that means you get out of school and have a three-day weekend and off work. And then we come in and we celebrate on Easter Sunday morning. And if you're like my house, you're still hiding eggs a week later. Yesterday, Ryan is running around the house with this giant egg, hiding an egg everywhere. And so there's kind of this build-up to Easter that we go through, and we're excited because we know the pews are going to be packed, and there's going to be people here, and we want to reach them, and we celebrate not just what Christ did on the cross, but also his resurrection, obviously on Sunday morning, and we celebrate that. We're excited about that. And there's this phrase that we often use on Friday in the middle of that despair, and Jesus died on the cross, and we use this phrase, Sunday's coming. All right, you posted on Facebook, there's some videos about it, a pastor did, and that Sunday is coming, meaning that hope is coming. All right? Fear not, because hope is coming. But you see, also, Monday is coming. And after we celebrate Easter, and we hunted all the Easter eggs, and ate all the food, and we celebrated, and we worshiped together, Monday comes, and it's back to the world. And the three-day weekend's gone, and we're back into just the mundane and checking the boxes and all that. And so we have Easter weekend. It's one of the sweetest weekends of the year for the church. And then Monday morning hits, and for many of us, we return to work. We return back to the grind. And when the reality of sin and Satan and death and cancer and illness and finances and all that stuff sets in on Monday morning. And how do we live in victory on Easter Sunday, on Monday morning, throughout the week? And so my hope this morning is we're going to spend just a moment in John chapter 20 this morning. As we look at Jesus' first appearance to his disciples, obviously he appeared to Mary Magdalene, but his first appearance to his disciples, and we're going to take away a couple things this morning from John chapter 20, and that is, first, how did Jesus act, but more importantly, what did Jesus say? The first time he appeared to his disciples, what did he say? Because in these passages, he's going to give them three gifts. And we're going to start in John chapter 20, verse 19. He says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. They were afraid. All right, now here were the disciples who gave up their life to follow Christ. They walked away from some pretty lucrative jobs, and they walked away and they followed Christ, and they broke bread with him, and they prayed with him, and they spent time with him, and they bought into what Christ was saying, and they witnessed the miracles. And then as soon as he was gone, fear set in. Because what do we do next? What do we do now? What do we do now that this person that we believed in and was here with us, we just knew that one day he was going to ride in on the white horse and reclaim everything from the Romans and reestablish the kingdom for King David. He was the Messiah, right? What about his promises? And they knew that he was the one, and yet when he died upon that cross, there was fear that set in. They were afraid of what's next. They were afraid of what life was going to become. Did they make the wrong decision? What is the world going to say? And many of you this morning have that same fear. But yeah, we bought into who Christ was and we made a decision, but now there's fear in our life. Am I prepared for what I'm expected to do? There's fear over do I have the words or the courage to share the gospel? There's fear in my life. Are my kids going to one day reject the faith that I raised them up in? There's fear over illness and cancer and death. There's fear over, am I living according to God's will? Am I doing the things that he's called me to do? There's angst in our life over just misery, that just we're not happy with where we're at in life. And we identify here, and what I want you to see here is that in the middle of their fear, Jesus did what? It says the doors were locked, but the disciples were afraid, and they were fearful of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." You see, in the middle of their fear, what did Jesus do? He appeared and he stood among them. He didn't wait for an invitation. Immediately, he stood among them and appeared before them. And you and I, we feel ashamed, and yet here is Jesus saying that, man, I come to my own that are afraid and in fear. He doesn't wait for us to have enough faith to overcome. In fact, the promise still holds true that we see in Isaiah 41:10 when he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." See, first and foremost, before we get into what Christ is actually saying here, is I know that, man, I know that you're struggling. I know each one of us is in a different phase of life, and there's different things going on, and, you know, we celebrate the resurrection, and we're a part of the church on Sunday, and we worship, but then we go into jobs that we're miserable at, and families, and finances, and whatever it is in the world, the uncertainty of the economy, and we're afraid. And first and foremost, before we get to Jesus' words, my hope is that what I want you to know is to truly know the Father, to experience the living Christ. That he's just not this good word, but that he desires to have a relationship with you, and that you don't, it's just not knowing of him and who he is, but to have a relationship with him. First and foremost, before we get into anything else, is I want to make sure that you know that you have a daily walk with Christ, and that no matter what you're in, he is there with you. He continues in verse 19, and this is where he begins to talk. He says, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. His first response to them was, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his scars. He tells us in Isaiah 53 that he is going to bring peace through the blood that he shed. So he appears to his disciples. He says, "Peace be with you." Now what he's talking about is a couple things here. First and foremost, he's saying now there's peace between you and God. There is no more condemnation, that God made peace by substituting his son. And he bore the weight of sin on that cross. And he has paid the price. And now you and I, we have peace with the Father. Secondly, he's saying there's peace with each other. You see, in the you and I, we have been bought with a price and we're no longer our own. And we are in one body of Christ. We are one in Christ. And it's no longer my battle and my fight is not with other people. And I know we think that sometimes. And then we go and attack other ideas, and we end up attacking other people. And no, my battle and my fight is not with other people, but it's with sin. And it is with Satan, and it is in the spiritual realm. Because not only do we have peace with each other, but more importantly, we have peace with ourselves. He said, in the middle of this fear and this doubt of what's next, the first thing he says is, peace be with you. Have peace. Peace with the Father and peace with ourselves. There is so much guilt in this world. And we're struggling with choices that we made. I had the opportunity to talk with somebody sometime, and they said, Pastor, you don't understand just the choices I made. I had an abortion and nobody knows. Nobody knows. And I'm carrying the weight of that. And I am shameful. And what I told them, what I tell you is that's what Good Friday was for. That he died on the cross for our sins. Now you and I have peace in him, and there's hope. There's no longer condemnation, so that we may have a clear conscience. So he says, first and foremost, the gift I give you is peace. Have peace. That it doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter the worries, the fears, the angst, the questions. Have peace. You see, that peace doesn't come from our circumstances or the situation we're in. That peace comes from knowing the Father. That peace comes from knowing that you and I were bought with a price and that we serve a higher purpose and a higher God. And it's no longer about me, it's about him. That in him we have joy. So he's saying, well, no, it doesn't matter what you're going through, first and foremost, have peace. Verse 21, we continue. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. He's given them purpose. He continues in 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. First, he gives them peace, then he gives them purpose, and then he gives them power. He's saying, he breathed on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out in about 7 weeks at Pentecost. All right, Jesus is going to continue to teach for about 40 more days, and then he's going to leave, and then we see the Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost. And he kept on, he said, there's another coming. There's a counselor, it's a supporter. And that as Christians, you and I have the Holy Spirit that resides in us. That you and I have access to the same power that rose Christ from the grave. And so he says, he breathed on them. What he's saying is that he said, my breath, my life, my word, the gospel is in the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have the power to go and accomplish purpose that God has given you. And so what he says is, he says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. He said, not only do you have peace and a clear conscience, but I'm also giving you a purpose. He said, for the same reason that I came, I am sending you. He clarifies that in John chapter 12 and verse 27. You see, Jesus knew what was coming. Heart was troubled. There was angst over what he was going to experience. He says in verse 27, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it. And I will glorify it again. Here's Christ with a troubled heart. To the point where you see, he's almost anguishing over it. He's sweating. There's tears. There's the sweats of blood. And he's saying, man, do I pray to the Father save me from this? You see, his fear and his heart was not troubled because of the physical pain of the cross. It wasn't that he was going to hang on a cross with pierced hands and ultimately suffocate to death hanging on a cross. No, he knew that in that moment he was going to bear the full weight of sin and experience the full wrath of God. Your sin and my sin. And his heart was troubled over it. He said, should I say, Father, save me from this? He says, no, you don't understand. This is the purpose. This is why I'm here. It's to glorify the Father. And he's saying, this the same purpose that I came for is now your purpose. To glorify the Father. And when we begin to understand that purpose, our whole outlook on life begins to change. We would look at this and say, Father, save me. I don't want to go through this. Save me from this. And then we begin to, your job's like, I don't want to go to work. I hate that place. It's miserable. We don't understand, and we just go through life, and I don't understand finances and the economy and politics and everything that's going on in the world. But see, it's no longer about our purpose. And see, what the problem is that we're viewing life, it's all about us. It's about my happiness. Am I content? Am I receiving what I feel like is deserved? I don't feel like I deserve this. I deserve a better work experience. I deserve a better family. I deserve a wife who loves me more, or different kids, or whatever else. And so we live life according to what's good for me. And we become miserable in things like jobs and marriages and finances and everything else in the world. But you see, we have a new purpose. And no longer is it about you and I. As they're sitting here and afraid, they're afraid of what? They're afraid of what's next for them. Where do I turn? I'm lost. Many of you are in that same place right now this morning. We celebrated Easter. Yeah, we agree, the risen Savior. But what now? I'm lost. I'm unhappy. There's doubt. There's frustration. There's worries. Jesus comes to them and says, first and foremost, have peace. Have peace. And secondly, have purpose. No longer about you. See, we now serve the risen Lord. And I wasn't created to have a happy life. He tells us in Isaiah that we were created to glorify the Father. And that is our purpose. And so me showing up to that job, me going through whatever you're going through in life, it's no longer about you. It's about the Father. And it's something we say all the time. It's not about Christ and down the cross so you can live a better life or a happier life, but so that you can be a new creation. And that's what it is. It's a new purpose. There's a new purpose in your life. And so when we begin to go through the things that we don't want to go through and the situations that we don't want to be in, and as Christ faced the cross and his heart was troubled, he knew there was no longer, it wasn't about him and his comfort. It was about the Father and glorifying him. As the disciples are here and they're afraid of what's next for them, he comes in and says, peace, but it's no longer about you, it's about the Father. And as you and I face a Monday morning tomorrow and start checking boxes again, and show up to a job, or whatever's going on in your life, no longer about you. It's about the Father. Glorify Him. You see, sin in our life distorts that and perverts that. And just set aside, just for a moment, eternity in heaven. And realize and understand that you and I have a Savior for today. So that we can fulfill the purpose. But we become concerned with so much other stuff and just the mundane and the things in life and politics. And we think, oh, if we can just get this political party in office, or get this person elected, or this bill passed, or if I can just make these changes in my life. And no, Jesus Christ is the answer. You want to make changes in the world? Go share the gospel. You want to see change in the world and the politics and the economy and everything that ails this world, go share the gospel. That's our purpose, to go share the gospel. So So he leaves these final three gifts in this post-resurrection world: peace, power, and purpose. You look at Peter. Bless his heart. Peter followed Christ. Chopped a man's ear off. Doubted Christ. Christ seems to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter said, "All right, well, fine, let's just go and die. We'll just go die with the Lord." And yet, Jesus told him, said, "On this rock I will build my church." And then ultimately we see Peter deny Christ three times. Hey, do you know that guy calling himself Messiah? No, I don't. Peter denied him three times. And then you look at Peter post-resurrection, and what do we see? We see a man that couldn't be stopped sharing the gospel. He was no longer denying Christ. He was sharing Christ. He went and took Christ to the Gentiles, and he defended the faith, and he defended salvation for the Gentiles. And ultimately, as the story goes, some say that for all of his troubles, they went to crucify him, and he said, "I don't even deserve to be crucified like Christ. Crucify me upside down." How do you reconcile that? How do you say, here's Peter with doubt and denies Christ, and now he can't be stopped? And he's going and sharing the gospel. That is the power of the resurrection. Peter went from understanding to see it was denying Christ because he was concerned about himself. And he was living in his own doubts and his own worries and for his own happiness. And we see the resurrection. Peter understands. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about my comfort or my job or what's next. It's only about the Savior. It's only about Him. And I'm not going to be stopped. I'm not going to be stopped. And he goes on a missionary journey. He begins to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And so as you and I face Monday morning, as we face life, all the worries, the cares, the frustrations, the doubts, everything, it's no longer about you and I. And that's what Christ is telling his disciples in this moment. Have peace. Have a peace that transcends all understanding. Have a peace that no matter what you're going through, you're still a child of God. And there's joy to be had. Have purpose. Purpose is no longer about yourself. It's about glorifying the Father. How do we accomplish that? And so our mindset begins to change. It's no longer, "Father, what do you have me in and deliver me from this?" But God, Father, how can I glorify you in this moment? I don't understand this season of my life, but how do I glorify you in this moment? This is not my way. I don't want to be going through this, but here I am. Father, help me to make much of your name. Do we truly have a burden for the lost people in this community? My hope and my prayer is that as a church, we are known for loving our community unconditionally and sharing the hope and the love we have in Christ. The best advertisement for this church is not something we put on social media or invites. It is you being so overwhelmed with what Christ is doing in your life and in this church that you cannot contain it. And you go and share the gospel and the love with people around you. Peace, power, and purpose. Peace, power, and purpose. That is what Christ is leaving with his disciples in a post-resurrection world. Heavenly Father, Father, I'm so lost without you. Father, I continually to go through the motions at time and check boxes and say, "Here I am," and we show up and we do the things that we think you want us to do, trying to please you. But Father, what you desire from us is so much more. Father, I pray that in this moment, it's not about me. It's not about what's next. Father, my prayer is that as a church, we are broken before you. That we can't help but defend the faith and share the gospel. We would spend time in your word and spend time in prayer and spend time talking and building relationships for the sake of the gospel. And Father, it's my prayer that if there's anyone here this morning that does not have a personal relationship with you, that Father, they would be so overwhelmed by the grace and the mercy that clearly comes from you. There's no condemnation in you. I pray that this morning come to know you as our personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In your awesome holy name we pray. Amen. First family.